Welcome to episode 12 of the Low Carb Universe show.
Hello.
Cool, isn't it? 3 months.
Oh, yeah. That must mean 3 months. Wow, yeah. That went quickly.
Yeah. Time flies when having fun. And right? We love doing this.
Yes, this is hilarious.
We do hope someone else does as well.
I hope someone else is listening. Hello out there. Hello.
Is it me you're listening to? No, okay, no. Last episode, Hannah interviewed me about my health adventure.
Yes, adventure.
And so, of course, we are doing the same today, but with Hannah.
What?
Yes. So today we're going to ask Hannah how she ended up where she is today. Hannah, you had type 1 diabetes since you were a small child, like around 2 years old.
Yep.
Did you have anyone in the family else or in the any relatives with type 1?
No one that we know of. It turned out that my grandmother is actually adopted, so we don't know further than that. But even if we did, there should be more than me if it was genetic, I think.
Yeah. No one can tell where it came from, actually.
No.
But you can suspect certain things, but yeah.
Yes.
And now you're in it, so let's do the best of it.
Exactly.
And you are by doing the low carb thingy.
The low carb.
Yeah, yes. But you, as I understand, it took a while before you discovered what low carb can do for a type 1 diabetic person.
Yes, it took me way too long. It took me 26 years of following very bad advice, meaning, 45 to 60% carbs with every meal and fruit and skim milk, which is disgusting, by the way. But yeah, 26 years of skim milk should give me a trophy, I think, because that is, that is just gross. So I followed that for the first 26 years after my diagnosis.
Yeah.
And got so bad that I, of course, had zero control of my blood sugar.
Yeah,
I had no idea about anything because it just wasn't explained to me how closely it is related to what you put in your mouth and what shows up on your blood sugar meter, which is interesting.
But during these years, did you ever doubt the dietary advices? Or did you think like, oh, something's wrong with me? I'm doing something wrong? Or were you like, I'm doing everything right? Why is it? Or did you just think that, okay, this is the life of a type 1?
It was all of those three things.
Yeah.
I definitely thought, okay, this is the way life with type 1 is. I was 28 before I discovered low carb, and I honestly didn't think it was feasible for me to see my 30th birthday for a while because I was just so sick. And not complication sick, but I could definitely feel my body slowing down and going like, okay, I need to be on energy saving mode. I can't do these things. I can't perform as well as I should. All of this. So it really felt like my body was like, powering down to then eventually come to a full stop, sort of. Yeah. And that was definitely scary. But at the same time, I thought this is the life of a type 1, which is just insane. And also, of course, if this is the advice that everyone is getting, how come everyone else is doing so well and I'm doing so shittily? Yeah. Like, what am I doing wrong?
But do you think, thinking of just the thing you just now said, do you think that type 1s tend to not lie, but to create another reality just to, because they feel that they are doing something wrong because they don't feel fine? Or you felt like you were the only one feeling shitty?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do think that it is very common within the type 1 community to make things look a little bit better than they are, okay. actually, because that becomes, a way of self-motivation.
Yeah.
That, okay, yes, this is shitty, but if I, you know, say that this and this and... Let's say you eat normally as a type 1, you have blood sugars going between 2 and 25, so 60 and 400 at all times. Mm-hmm. But at least you have that little glimmer of hope in the... during your day, which is that chocolate cake
Aww.
That you're allowed to have, because you should just eat like everyone else. Yes. And you should just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, don't do that.
No, exactly. Oh, and I so recognize this when it comes to, it's very sensitive, children with diabetes.
Ooh, yes.
And that they have to live like normal kids.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as I see it, and I know as you see it, it's that actually the way a diabetic should be eating should be the normal.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. For so it's not normal having a lot of chocolate cake and candy bars and ice no. cream and sodas. It's not normal.
Not for anyone.
No, exactly. So, yeah.
No, and I wish my parents would have known about this when I was a child, when I was diagnosed at 2 years old.
Yeah.
I wish my parents would have known about Dr. Bernstein, low carb and all of this stuff. And yeah. I could have saved my, or it could have saved myself so much pain and suffering and
your
uncertainty.
Parents as well.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because,
yes. I don't even.
Because
yeah.
being a parent, doing, mm-hmm. don't knowing anything about low yeah. carb or anything, just doing what the doctors tell you.
Yeah.
And doing what you know is the best for your child.
Yeah.
And you can see that your child isn't feeling well at
exactly.
all. And at the, oh, it must be, oh,
it must be torture.
Goosebumps just thinking yeah. of it. Terrible situation.
Yeah.
Really, really. But how did you eventually you ended up with low carb? So
I did, luckily.
Tell us how.
I was like you, I studied to become a nutrition coach because I realized also after burnout that I should do something different with my life. That's funny how that, you know, how yeah. you get a different insight. Anyway, and so we were talking about carbs and insulin and how that works in the body. And my teacher just said to me that, Hannah, you don't even make insulin. Why are you eating all this sugar and carbs and stuff when you have to add all the insulin that you need from the outside?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was my first aha moment. That was my wake-up call. But it, of course, I got very angry first.
Yeah. I believe you.
I got like insanely angry at the medical establishment, the different care teams that I had throughout my life. Dietitians were on the top of my hate list. Not all of them anymore, but some of them are definitely still on there. Doctors, nurses, everything. Every single book that had been published about diabetes yeah. and food. Everyone that even uttered a single opinion about it.
No.
Were on my bad list. I, of course, noticed straight away when I started removing carbs that it was a lot easier to control.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at that. It's like magic.
One thing I have to ask yeah. you. Sorry for interrupting. But
that's cool.
Your teacher.
Yeah.
That because was this like a private education or was
yeah.
it in public? Yeah, it was. Yeah. And was it a course that was specifically into low carb or just nutrition over?
It was actually marketed as a sports okay. nutrition. Yeah, sports okay. nutrition.
Yeah.
But it, and I don't know why I chose that because it's actually not at all one of my interests.
Destiny.
But somehow I yeah. ended up on this course.
Yeah.
And it was nowhere did it say that it was low carb or anything, but this guy was very into paleo. At the time, or still is, I know. And he thinks that I'm a bit crazy because I'm going very low carb or even keto.
So you're keeping in touch with him?
Yeah, a little on and yeah. off because, yeah. well, I owe him my life. He actually yeah. single-handedly saved my life. So I yeah. feel that he should get an update or something. every once in a while. Maybe he can even listen to this one.
Yes, he can. You can invite him to listen.
I will. Yeah. I will send this to him.
So did you start off with the paleo?
Yes, very liberal. You know, I kept all the fruits because they are still good for you.
Yeah.
And lots of vitamins. No, it's pure sugar, people. That's where and still some root vegetables and stuff were still in there. But then, you know, I started, what else can I do? You know, I got this curiosity. I'm like, what else can I do? And if I remove this, how much better will I feel? Yeah. And, will there be a difference? Can I take even less insulin? Or blah, 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 all these things. And so, of course, it took me about 4 years, I think, to go from liberal paleo to keto. Or three, four years, something like that.
Yeah.
But I think I needed that time to also, because I didn't have any help. I didn't have a coach. Yeah. I didn't have a doctor that was supporting me. I didn't have a dietitian that was helping me. Yeah. I didn't have anything like that. So I needed that time to like really take it step by step.
So if you compare now pre low carb, pre keto, how much insulin did you take?
Before I started cutting down on anything, at the time of my aha moment, I took about 100 units a day, which is kind of a lot for a person of my size. Today I take between 15 and 25.
Now that's incredible.
And that has so much improved my lifestyle and my sort of quality of life too, because I don't have to worry about every little step. As long as I keep the food right, I know it's going to go more or less all right.
Yeah.
And I have to worry less, which is very nice.
Yeah. But you combine, it's not all about the food when you're type 1. There are so many other things.
Absolutely.
Like stress levels, how much you train, and so how is a normal day in your life
today? Well, on a good day I will get out of bed now. I actually eat only twice a day instead of the prescribed 5 to 6 meals a day, because I'm not hungry otherwise, and I feel it's stupid to stress my body with more calories, more carbs, more nutrition than it's asking for. And here we also go back to what we talked about last week, that, you know, the importance of getting to know your body.
Exactly.
and daring to listen to your body, because at the beginning it was unthinkable for me to skip even one little snack out of the 5-6 meals, whatever, and now I'm like, once or twice a day is a plenty to eat. Like, I don't need more than that. And so I get up, I start my wonderful work day, and, you know, I just work until lunch, and then I have something really nutritious and good, because this is my one out of two chances to fuel my body with the stuff it needs.
Yeah.
And so it's very nutrient dense food. I try, at least.
Yeah.
Not, you know, Marty Kendall style. I am not quite at that level yet.
No.
But it's something I do bear in mind. And then I sprinkle my day with a little bit of yoga, maybe a walk. Then I continue working, and then it's, you know, dinner time. And then, yeah, I mean, it's a simpler lifestyle. It's so much simpler than trying to time in everything according to 6 meals and then 6 injections of insulin every day to try to combat all of this stuff that you're eating. Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
One other thing.
Yes.
Going back, how did you get in contact with the low-carb community when you discovered this? Because you're now you're lecturing, you're going to USA, you're in Germany, and you... So how did you get in contact with... all of the
everyone?
Everyone.
I don't actually remember.
Because you live in Switzerland, and this isn't huge.
No, this is very tiny here. It's very tiny. So it's definitely not a local. This has all been online and very gradual.
Yeah.
I don't remember who I found first. No, actually I do, because it was Professor Lauren Cordain.
Okay.
Who had he was very much, he is still, paleo. So that's where I started. and he had, I don't remember if he had a blog or something. It was something I read online anyway. And then that linked to the next person, and then the next person, and then the next person. And then I started hearing about, you know, this crazy doctor in Sweden that like talked about low carb, and Dr. Jenfeld, diet doctor, was quite soon.
Yeah.
I found him. But I thought he was a little bit insane, and especially for type one, because, you know, we can't do that.
No.
But yeah, no, it's been like a chain reaction.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in 2015, I found myself on the Caribbean low carb cruise with you.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Jimmy Moore and said,
it was like,
yeah, exactly. And I talked to Jimmy Moore. I'm like, hey, if you need someone to share their story next year, you know, just keep me in mind.
Yeah.
And he's like, of course. And I'm like, what? And the rest is history.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for other type 1s that are curious, or are there any special hurdles you have to get over before you can?
First of all, find someone who can support you through this. Yeah. Whether it's a friend or a coach or a nurse or a doctor or whatever it is that can support you through this. And because the people around you will mostly think they've gone a little bit insane. So you need that support network. Second of all, make sure that you lower the amount of insulin you take very quickly.
Yes.
Because that is something that I did wrong. And to a certain extent, it's a miracle I'm still here, because I had some really, really bad hypoglycemia when I first started, because I didn't connect the fact that eating less carbs meant less insulin.
And that is so
natural.
It should really
it should be self-explanatory.
You make, but that is just another proof that everything is so wrong.
Brainwashed. Yeah.
Yes.
Everything is so brainwashed.
Yeah.
Find a support group that can help you, whether that's in real life or online. I like my online groups because they're easily accessible from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, Type 1 Grit on Facebook is a fantastic resource. Yeah. Really does a lot with knowing the theory so that someone can explain it to you, and then doing it, taking the appropriate precautions, taking the insulin you still need, checking your blood sugar, keeping hydrated, but don't take too much insulin, because that can get dangerous very fast.
Yeah.
And then find the sort of day-to-day support. Oh, you know, I screwed up here, or, oh, how should I think here? Oh, I'm going on a seven-mile hike. What am I going to, how am I going to fuel, blah, blah, which you're going to be fine. But, you know, it's things in the beginning that you have to think a little bit extra about.
No, okay. I think we should take the opportunity to debunk some myths about keto and type 1 diabetes.
Beautiful. Can't wait.
You just, should we take the keto acidosis thing?
Oh my God, yes. DKA. That is not the same as ketosis.
No.
It never has been. It never will be. To get into DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, which is life-threatening and very dangerous and not recommended for anyone. You need, first and foremost, a very, very important part, which is the lack of insulin. Like, as long as you take the insulin that your body needs, which you will see on your blood sugar measurements, that you keep an eagle eye on, of course, because you're an awesome person, and you keep hydrated, you're fine. Like, that's all you need to do to avoid it. Then, of course, there are excruciating circumstances, like a stomach bug, for example. Mm-hmm. But as long as you manage to keep hydrated and still keep taking the insulin, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not the same thing.
And the thing is that when it comes to complications, what's the worst part of eating a normal high-carb, low-fat diet, if you follow the advices that you get from the doctors and so, what's the worst?
Well, apart from the fact that it's really disgusting food.
Yes, it is.
No, it's the fluctuations in blood sugar.
Yeah.
So you keep on bouncing between 20, which is, you know, 400s to 260s. you know, and everything in between there. And that's what's dangerous. Not that you might be high for a day. The body can quite all right get along with that. Or that you have a day where you maybe are a little bit lower on the scale. Your body's going to handle that too. But it's this constant bouncing up and down that destroys every single organ in your body. And that's what you're not going to survive long on.
And I have just one thing I want to ask you. So, so saying that, okay, my A1C is perfect, but it's not a good measurement.
It's not.
When it goes to, because you only see the middle of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you should.
Exactly. Because it is an average.
And the fluctuations.
Yeah, the standard deviation. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's very important, and that's a good point, because you know you see a lot on first and foremost social media, and people, diabetics who are proud of their A1C, they always mention it somewhere, they get it casually into a conversation, you know, all of this stuff, but you don't know any more than that. Like, you never see any CGM curves, for example, like the constant measuring blood sugar curves. Or you don't see, they never mention what their standard deviation is. So actually, an A1C can be anything.
Yeah.
If it's not put into the right context.
Yeah. Yes. That's correct.
I know, but thanks.
is there anything I've forgotten to ask you? I'm sure there is. Is there anything you want to add?
The fact that there is a way for every single diabetic out there to live a healthier and happier life with and despite their diagnosis. And it doesn't have to be one of two things. One, it doesn't have to be what the healthcare tells you, or sick care actually, because that's what they're trying to keep you. And or it doesn't have to be, or it can't be exactly the same as works for anyone else. So for example, me, whatever I do, I can only use me and what works for me as sort of an inspiration for other diabetics to start thinking about what could help them. But I can't sell it as a model, because it won't fit anyone else.
Exactly.
And that is what's so frustrating, but amazing at the same time.
Yeah, it is. And you can see it as we, if we talk about low carb for normal healthy people, doing it for weight loss and energy and everything, it's like, it's the same there, but it's so very clear when it comes to type 1 diabetics, because you see it, one can eat all the protein he or she wants. Another one gets spikes when eating protein. So it's really individual. So
it is.
You have to try and use the best tool, your blood glucose meter.
Exactly.
What's happening. So, and then all the sky will be blue, and sun will be shining, and birds be singing.
And what was that one about unicorn poops?
Yeah, that was the last. I couldn't do the same for you. it's my picture.
Okay, fine. You can keep the unicorn poops.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. you can have the sky, the blue sky, and the sun. Yeah, fine. Whatever. And some kava.
Okay, thank you.
And some kava. Yeah. So, thank you very much, Hannah. It was
thank you.
I've heard it before, but it's always something new you learn or
absolutely
you get to tell, and so it's very, very interesting. So, thank you for this episode.
Thank you,
and see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.